So you're feeling overwhelmed, huh? Well, why don't you just sit down? Why don't you just chill with me just for a second here? Because I know that when I was feeling overwhelmed, what I needed was for someone to just sit with me in it. All right, we don't have to try and change it right now. And I know it can feel tough. You know, your problems, what feels like are your problems. And life in general on the planet right now is, it has its contrasts, to say the least. And it's okay that you feel this way, which is counterintuitive to how a lot of people think. You might think, I need to fix it. But if you're in a state of overwhelm, your nervous system is dysregulated to some respect. Now, whether it's in fight or flight or whether it's in freeze, it remains to be figured out. But from this place, I think it's the resistance to even feeling it and that it's happening is the first step. So just allow yourself to just chill a little bit. And as you start to relax, and the next thing is, do you feel like it's not going to work out for you in the end, in this moment? Because I feel as though if you did, you may not be as overwhelmed because you would feel that overall sense of faith. And I think a lot of our culture nowadays in the West lacks faith. It does not have to be a religious faith. It can just be a faith in a higher intelligence in general, that the one that beats your heart, or just a faith that the universe has got your back in some respect, and that there's a greater plan to why things are happening. And I'm not particularly religious in any sense. But the spiritual path has called me for a long time. And I've studied many different traditions, philosophies, and it's so funny how it leads you back to these simple things like understanding the shadow, right? Because the overwhelm is a shadow. And if you can see me here, if you've got the visual, if you don't, there's a shadow back here. You can kind of see it when I move. Right? And the only way to really let go of the shadow, say it's overwhelm, or the shadow behind me physically, is to give it light. Right? But the candlelight isn't going to do it. What you need to do is get like a real light. And this might not be what you want to hear right now, but maybe that real light, maybe that fire that produces that light is an alchemical fire that lives in your heart that is really low right now. That meaning that your heart being this transmutation center for these emotions, and when you're in overwhelm, usually your heart is, it's like smoldering, right? There's not really a fire there. And so think about the element of fire right now, and how bright is that fire within your heart? And this notion leads us to, how much control have we given to the ego in this moment that it's right and that it's got the wheel? And it's almost like an autopilot car, you know, where we just let it drive, and then we're like annoyed that it's driving and we're frustrated that it's driving. It's like, well, just take control back. You take control back in an interesting way, right? One of the ways that helps me to start to embody more of the truth in the overwhelm scenario is, you don't resist it, the overwhelm, but you welcome it. But you welcome it with the fire of the truth. The fire of the truth. And the truth in this moment is that you are beyond the overwhelm, and you have an immense amount of power, metaphysical power in this moment. And you, if you've tapped into your heart a lot, you'll know what I'm saying. Because when you live from that space, this might seem really far out there for someone who's never heard of it. Or this might seem familiar to someone else. So the point being that the heart center is the thing that will get you out of the overwhelm. Why? Because the heart center metaphysically is also the thing that generates connection to the greater intelligence. Really, you could say to the Tao even. And you can never fully be separate from it. It's as though a wave that is going slower is still a wave. So energetically, you're still in the wave. But in the same way that in our reality, there's wave-particle duality, meaning that a particle can simultaneously be a wave. That's what's happening with you. So how much you connected to the wave, how much you connected to unity in this moment. And if you're not, it's not a guilt thing. It's just a choice that you're making. And if you take the guilt out of it, I think that really helps. I think it really helps because for so long I guilted myself for how I felt. And then I realized, well, I'm experiencing the feeling of this, but it's something that's happening within my body. And so I'm able to then observe the feelings and sit with it. And from that space, allow it to move through my body. You know, it's interesting. I'm going to bring a kind of random thing to this, it might seem, but it's not random. Especially for men, we have this programming. Even, you know, Sean Strickland over the weekend, I think it was, saying that men shouldn't feel feelings. Men need to be tough. They can't show signs of weakness. And I think what that leads to is the suppression of anger. So the suppression of overwhelm, or whatever the underlying sensation of overwhelm is for you, or the emotion. And so if you're in a position to where you're not around other people, I think that's a half truth, right? Because if you're in a situation where you need to get shit done, and that's that, especially as a man, okay. But if you're in a situation where you're alone in your bedroom and you're just chilling and you have these feelings come up and you feel like you can't feel them, I don't think that's the truth. Showing signs of weakness in social situations in that context, okay, I get that. But I think a lot of the problems in the world, especially with men, come from the suppression of emotional states and then outbursts. And then you end up with a lot of the world situations we're in today because people don't know how to handle their emotions. They get overly emotional, especially in logic and reason scenarios. Nowadays, when it comes to what the truth is, it's like, well, how you feel is the truth. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. So the point being is, if you have overwhelm, what is the underlying sensation of that? And you're not trying to change it, but just trying to really get curious as to what that sensation is in your body. And if it's anger, which for me, it was a lot of frustration and anger. So usually that shows up actually in my heart and it feels like it's electrifying. It almost feels overwhelming to feel it, right? So in that moment, that's when you just take a deep breath, a psychological sigh, one of the most scientifically proven things to help with getting your nervous system regulated, and just allow it to be present. And I think a big part of this that is often missed is that when you're allowing anger or depression or sadness or fear, maybe the world has got you in a state of fear, when you're just sitting with this, you're not even trying to change the story. That's not what this is about. What if you get really quiet and if you really sit with it, what you'll realize is that if you continue to be present with that emotion, in the correct set and setting, then it will eventually subside on its own. It's as though it somatically wants to move through you. And so allowing that process to happen will naturally change the story. So you don't have to be like, I shouldn't be feeling this, yada, yada. Just be with it. Just be with it. And I think that's why meditation is so important over thousands of years, right? We hear that a lot in the West now. Meditation is important for mindfulness. But that's so surface level. That's why I love the Bhagavad Gita commentary, Paramahansa Yogananda. One of my favorites, one of my favorite books. And meditation is so consistent in there, because when you're in that state of meditation, you're able to recognize that, but that emotion, and you're able to observe it. And there's so many things that happen in meditation, but I think a thing to think about is when you're overwhelmed and then you're meditating, you're not even worried about like, yeah, you eventually want the state that you're in meditation to be your normal in a sense, but that's too many steps. So overwhelm, we have a feeling that's present, uncomfortability. Maybe you don't feel like you're enough. Maybe you don't feel like you're doing enough. Maybe you feel like I got to figure everything out now. It all comes from a distrust of reality, a distrust that it's not okay that I should be feeling this. It's not okay what I'm experiencing in the present moment. And that's what this all comes down to, is our society teaches us to think that our lives are not good enough because of the way the weapon of social media has been designed. It's a comparison fest. So if you go online and you see what everybody else is doing, you're like, well, I wish I was doing that. But you have no idea. First off, there's a lot of different tangents that could go on with that. But I think the point is that it instills within our subconscious minds that we're not enough, that our present moment is not enough, because we don't have the relationship, or you don't have the amount of money you want. So you need to chase the money. And I think Andrew Huberman said a beautiful thing on Cam Haines' podcast. And he was talking about a little bit of his background. And I think it's powerful that he recognized that when you chase money, that's a recipe for disaster. But if you chase what you really love and getting really good at it, and developing it, the thing that you're passionate about, that lights you up in the present moment, not the thing that you feel like you're going to be passionate about in 10 years, then maybe that right there is the discovery that you needed. You don't need to know the 10 steps ahead right now. And maybe the overwhelm is trying to figure out the 10th step. Kind of in the same way that in the art of war, you're trying to be 10 steps ahead of your opponent, or however many, which is one of my favorite books when it comes to strategy. It's actually kind of based on Taoism, which is fascinating. Sun Tzu! That's who wrote it. But I think that this notion that we live under, that we are not good enough until we have these things, is the fundamental thing that blocks us even metaphysically from being able to be in a high level of consciousness, yes, but also to have things happen that seem like they're coincidences. And I think that humanity is starting to realize, and they have for a minute, that, yeah, maybe the law of attraction is bullshit in some senses, but there is a way to metaphysically have an effect on what happened in your life and the circumstances that happened to you. Not all of them, not all of them. But how we choose, what we choose to embody does in some way affect the things that we think we don't have control of. And I think that's really hard for people to understand. And I think this can come as a relief if you're thinking, well, I have to do all this stuff, the linear path, right? The linear path is I need to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and I never feel like I'm enough until I scrape by to climb the hierarchy. Then I have enough money and a Bugatti, and I'm good. But there is another path. There's another path that I think that, again, the law of attraction hits on. There's some BS in there. But it's as though you're in a game, and the game recognizes when you evolve, and the game is kind of designed to be a mirror, and the mirror reflects back to you your own evolution, physically represented. So what that might look like is when you are really living your passion, how do you feel? Living your passion in the present moment might be like, I like making videos, so I'm going to make more videos. And I'm not going to worry about the results right then. I'm not going to worry about anything else. Maybe I want to write a book. I'll do the book. And so when you do that, you start to get into that flow state, and then you're in harmony. You're in the wave function of the universe. It's as though you can operate as a particle or you can operate as a wave. And that's actually wave particle duality in quantum physics, right? So it's interesting, right, Jax? Right? Jax is coming to say hi. He hasn't been feeling well tonight. You okay, buddy? Well, I don't know if he's feeling well again. Anyways, wave particle duality. When you operate from the wave, I think that might be your solution to overwhelm. Because overwhelm tries to figure everything out, but it can't comprehend everything. So then it predicts a doom scenario to some level, but then it doesn't know which step to take. So it says, all right, I'm done. And then it just distracts and numbs. But if you were to get into that wave state, you can call it a flow state, then you kind of open yourself up. And I think this is highly underrated, especially when it comes to overwhelm. It's the thought that you don't need to come up with the solutions yourself. And it's actually humbling because this actually comes to the question of where do thoughts come from? Because you can't even confirm that you came up with it, because what even are you? So what I'm saying is that if you open up, maybe you'll get ideas from the field. You can say whatever you want about what it's from. How many religions talk about angels? Angels are guiding me, talking to me. I'm not mocking that, or I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I'm saying for thousands of years, we've recognized that there's some guiding principle in our life. Now, however you want to say that, higher self, spirit, source, divinity, Allah, Jesus. I mean, it could be anything. I mean, I'm a philosopher. I'm not worried. I'm actually just a guy. I'm not even just a philosopher. I'm many things, right? But I feel like a true philosopher doesn't really need to put themselves into a box. It is for sure. And so that intelligence may be trying to get to you to give you something that will give you, or better said, that intelligence, the greater intelligence of the universe, may be trying to contact you and give you the answer to what you're going through that will get you 10 steps ahead in way less time. But maybe the problem is that you think that you have to figure it out yourself, in the same way that you think that you're the particle, but you're actually the wave. You can be both at the same time, but there's benefits to being in a certain level of consciousness. So if you're overwhelmed, hopefully this is opening you up and helping to regulate you so that that can come through. It's almost as imagining, though, when you get into that fight or flight, that dysregulated state, that what happens is that you cut yourself off from contact with anything that is able to guide you. Or whatever, archetypically, we'd call that God, right? But at the end of the day, you always have a choice, and there's different paths, and it's up to you to choose that path. And I don't think there's a wrong path. That's one thing I want to relate to you to. You're not doing anything wrong. You're exploring the universe from a unique point of view where you don't remember where you came from before this, which you definitely came from somewhere. And everybody's just trying to figure it out. So taking it serious, when I think the nature of it kind of is a cosmic joke, in the same way they have the in the Hindu tradition or in the Eastern traditions, there's this idea of Leela, or the divine play, that actually everything is just a play. In the same way we call it the human game, it's a game for God. It's a game for the greater intelligence of the universe. God isn't one religion. But it's not that serious. Maybe it's not that serious. And I actually want to ask you, if you take it less serious, does that hurt you? Does it take away from your experience in a way that is life-denying? Because maybe at some points in your life you need to be serious. But if you allow yourself to kind of move in and realize, this shit, maybe it's not that serious. Maybe you're actually just a being that comes from outside this temporal game we're in, and you're just here to experience it and to evolve, yes. But maybe part of that evolution is to realize that you're in a game, to realize that you're in a divine play, that you're in a dream, so to speak. However, whatever analogy speaks to you the most. And that I feel like, in the same way that sometimes you come off trips, or you come off of a playing a good video game and you realize how serious you were taking it, but it really isn't that serious in the grand scheme of things. I think when I'm overwhelmed, that thought really helps. And I hope that thought helps you too in this moment. Maybe you're not feeling overwhelmed anymore. Let's go. Maybe you are. It's okay too. But I feel as though embodying that Joker archetype, not necessarily like Batman Joker, but more like the court jester, realizing the irony of the game. I mean, think about how ridiculous this game is. That court jester, that jester Joker archetype, can be really useful when you look at the world. Look at what the world is doing. If you try to take what the world is doing seriously and you get really like, oh God, it's all going to end. Oh, they're, what are they doing? They're doing stupid. They're, you get in that frame, it just leads to despair. And I think one of the best things you can do is just fucking laugh at the stupid ridiculousness of what these people are choosing. And trust that the reason why they're choosing it is so that the rest of us see how stupid it is. And so they're actually, in some ways, maybe not always, but in some ways, this is a cosmic gift to witness the blatant tomfoolery, the blatant, complete and utter dog water that is what our world seems to look like. But then you look at the present moment and you go outside and you, I don't know if you ever saw that TikTok or that Instagram, you go and you sit on a rock and you just think to yourself, the world ain't that bad. And I feel like that thought is, it does have some truth to it. And it ain't that bad. It ain't that bad. And your life really isn't that bad. And there is a possibility that you could enjoy this moment right now. You could. You're choosing not to, and you're putting all these reasons as to, oh shit, I can't enjoy this shit. I got too many problems. I can't just sit back and relax. Must be nice. Okay. Hold on, partner. You can relax. And at the same time, operate from a relaxed state and do hard shit. Depending on how hard the shit is. I mean, if you're pulling David Goggins and you're running 100 miles, maybe the relaxedness isn't going to be there, but that state of consciousness of trusting that you're doing the right thing, I feel like when you're relaxed, that is part of it. You're just allowing what is to be. So I think the leap there is to realize that sometimes you need to do hard shit, and sometimes you can just have a good time. And I think the sweet, sweet nectar of life is to have a good time while you're doing hard shit. Like when I really start to enjoy the gym, like just fucking putting the headphones on and just going, getting after it. Truck yeah. Like that then becomes something that you kind of rewire your brain to enjoy the shit that you used to not like. I mean, that's science. There's actually a scientific term for that. I just presented on it last night, but I can't remember off the top of my head. Something along the line of neuronal connection reversal. It's like reversing the way that you're getting gratification. But it's a process, right? It's a process. It takes time. It takes effort. But at the end of the day, when you're overwhelmed, now is the time to just chill a little bit and get back into that state. Maybe start practicing getting into that state of wholeness, a state of embodiment, really a higher level of that you're operating from, more connected to what you really are, and then take action from that. And maybe you start to prioritize that. Just contemplate that. What if you actually did it? You can do both, right? You can cultivate your state and then do things, which is the optimal path, in my opinion. And then there's going to be times where you feel like shit and you still got to go do stuff and you still got to go to the gym. Well, at that time, you can recognize that you still have power over your mind. And if you can't take the time to get back into the state, and you do it anyways, and you cultivate the state through doing the difficult thing, ooh, that's the sweet nectar of life right there as well. If you can do that. Man. So I hope this helps you in that state of overwhelm and come back to this. If you're overwhelmed again, I'll be putting up more podcasts like this. You've been listening / watching The Human Game with Nick Zai. You can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. I haven't done a little chill video like this in a while, but I just kind of felt really called to come on and share this with you. So you can find out more what I'm doing below. Upgrade Your Reality course below if you want to get more into these embodiment practices. Make this your year. Self-actualization, self-mastery. That's what I'm about. But I'm not about doing it from I have to grind and hustle and my life fucking sucks the whole time. Until, you know, I'm a piece of shit. I don't do that, right? Because that's not the truth. I'm not going to lie to myself in order to force myself to do things, to hate my life. What kind of life is that to live? So that's why I focus on spiritual traditions, the Bhagavad Gita, Yogananda. I love that. And Taoism, Hinduism, these type of things, because they relay that greater truth. And so we're just getting started on those. And we'll see you in the next episode. If you want to check one of those out, it might be around here somewhere. I think you'll like them. And until then, peace.